So we thought that because it's graduation time, and a lot of people are graduating just now, that that's why we picked the theme that we picked, which is Earth Day Earth School Commencement, forgiveness, non-judgment, and letting go of fear. And I'm going to start out by talking about fear, but let's talk about graduation, because does anybody have anybody in their family graduating this month? Or anybody? You do?
Yeah, from college.
Nice.
Yeah.
Or
my great niece, my nephew and his wife were here for the last 3 days, and their daughter.
Beautiful.
So we did FaceTime, and she graduated.
That's very exciting.
And getting married in.
Whoa.
In February.
Wow! Congratulations. Very beautiful. Anybody have friends of, or know anybody who's graduated this this year, this month? Yes.
My adopted Spanish son graduated from high school.
Yes. Beautiful. Congratulations. What's his name? Manuel. Congratulations, Manuel. Anybody else? I have a granddaughter that graduated from high school this month. So, you know, these milestones. And when we think about graduating from a, you know, a school, a wisdom school or an educational institution, I looked up, you know, to see, I wanted to know the difference between just acquiring knowledge and acquiring wisdom. And so knowledge is possessing information, while wisdom is possessing experience. And so kind of our theme as we go today is, you know, how can we gain wisdom? Because I believe you need to have wisdom to graduate from Earth School. So, and also I wanted to, Bill put up a really great quote that I thought spoken to this today, and he put it up on Facebook, and it's a Rumi quote. And it says, "Yesterday I was clever, so I wanted to change the world. Today I am wise, so I am changing myself." Isn't that a great quote? All right. Oh, so there's so much that I could say about fear, and I will, I'm going to, but I'm going to start out with this song that a friend of mine wrote, actually, many years ago, when we were following the same guru. And she wrote this song, and I played it then, and I have never really stopped playing it because it's a timeless song, and it's called Take All the Fear. That you know I'm hiding, take it away so I can be free. Replace it with love that is infinitely with me. Show me how to see what I've never seen before. This world is too crazy for me to comprehend. I need to be with you forever and again. So take all the fear that you know I'm hiding. Take it away so I can be free. Replace it with love that is infinitely with me. Show me how to see what I've never seen before. I'm falling, please catch me, my Lord. Bind me to you with your golden cord. And take all the fear that you know I'm so I can be free. Replace it with love that is infinitely with me. Show me how to see what I have never seen before. Show me how to be like I've never been before. Show me how to love like I've never loved before. So, you know, when we talk about letting go of fear, you know, I feel like maybe we need to embrace it and integrate it. And then we don't really need to let it go. It kind of goes of its own once we acknowledge it. And, you know, I got to learn a little bit about that as a midwife, working with women. Those of you who don't know me, I was a practicing midwife for about a decade. And, you know, helping women to it's a perfect time to work with fear, you know, helping women overcome their fear of giving birth. And I learned a few things. And one of the things that I learned was how to discern between grounded and ungrounded fear. And I think that could really, you know, help us today in, you know, discerning between the fear that serves us and the fear that paralyzes us. And it just, for a personal story to illustrate that, is when I was carrying my second child, I had a fear that I was carrying a Down syndrome baby. And I had dreams. I was having dreams that I was carrying a Down syndrome baby. And it disturbed me. I was very disturbed by that. And so, you know, fear alerts us, right? So I thought, okay, what am I going to do with this? So I went to my midwife and I told her this dream that I was having. And she said, "You're just afraid of having a perfect, beautiful, healthy baby. There's something in you that feels like you don't deserve to have a perfect, healthy baby." And I looked at that and I was like, oh, you know, I had to look at where that lived in me. Was that true? And when I did, the fear dissipated and it never came back. And of course, I gave birth to a perfect, beautiful, healthy baby girl. But where does that live? It lives in our bodies, right? Our bodies know whether fear is grounded or ungrounded. And it lives in our body in the way that our body is not confused. Our body knows if it's growing a boy or a girl. Our body knows if it's growing cancer or not. Our body's not confused. So when we can really, you know, listen, we can discern. And then we can replace that fear with love. It was about, for me, it was about self-love and loving myself enough to feel that I deserved something good. So we have four songs, I think, here for you today that we're gonna do. And the other thing that I wanted to talk about was trusting in the cycles. Because I feel like when we trust in the cycles of nature and we have faith in the cycles of nature, that and faith in a higher power, that it replaces fear, and then we have less of a need to control. So everything goes in cycles, right? You know, everything goes in cycles. And there's that lovely Bible passage that says, "The thing that has been, it is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done, and there is no new thing under the sun." Everything goes in cycles. And that statement really is a statement of alchemical law, the as above, so below, as within, so without. And everything in this dimension is made of the same stuff. You know, it's all made of the element. Are you having trouble hearing? It's all made of the elementals. So everything, I think we would agree that we live in a, you know, a third dimension of reality that's ruled by duality, and that everything is made up. I mean, we know we have the you know, all the elements that we know of thus far that matter is constructed of. So, you know, everything is made of the same stuff and everything will return to the same stuff. It's only changing form. So the elementals are pure energy and everything is just changing form. So, you know, we're gods climbing the spiral ladder of evolution, the spiral like the DNA and that is in a spiral. And I think we're starting to wake up to the truth of who we really are. And when we think about things moving in cycles and this world of duality, it's in the reconciliation of these opposites that we graduate from this dimension of duality and or this third dimension of Earth school. So I'd like to play a song that speaks into that, into these cycles. And I hope you'll sing along. I'm no Joni Mitchell, so I'm gonna really need some help with this one. And I'm just gonna have to retune real quick. Yesterday, a child came out to wander, caught a dragonfly inside a jar. Fearful, when the sky's full of thunder, and tearful at the falling of a star. And the seasons, they go round and round. The painted ponies go up and down. We're captive on a carousel of time. We can't return, we can only look behind from where we came and go round and round and round in the circle again. Then the boy moved 10 times round the seasons, skated over 10 clear pools and streams. Words like, when you're older, must appease them, and promises of someday make up history. And the seasons, they go round and round. The painted ponies go up and down. We're captive on a carousel of time. We can't return, we can only look behind from where we came and go round and round and round. Circle 16 springs and 16 summers gone now. Cartwheels turn to car wheels round the town. We tell him, take your time, it won't be long now. Till you drag your feet, just slow those circles down. And the seasons, they go round and round. The painted ponies go up and down. We're captive on a carousel of time. We can't not return, we can only look behind from where we came and go round and round and round in the circle again. Well, the years spin by now, the boy, he's 20. Though his dreams have lost a part of grandeur coming true. But there'll be new dreams, and there'll be better dreams, and there'll be plenty of new dreams before the last revolving year is through. And the seasons, they go round and round, the painted ponies go up and down. We're captive on a carousel of time. We can't return, we can only run behind from where we came and go round and round and round in the circle game. And go round and round and round in the circle.
So what you said about forgiveness, I mean, you kind of stole our thunder, but that's okay.
That's all right.
I had come across a few books, one of which that was very kind of revolutionary in my life was a book by Colin Tipping called Radical Forgiveness. Highly recommend this book because it gets to a level that most of us are not even aware of regarding forgiveness. And I actually met Colin Tipping. He was actually in a men's group with a couple friends of mine down in Atlanta, Georgia. So I was able to meet this guy. Unfortunately, he's no longer on the planet anymore. But he wrote Radical Forgiveness. It's got several stories in there about radical forgiveness and also radical self-forgiveness. The friend of mine that knows him was on him all the time about writing this book, he says, because we all need to forgive ourselves, you know. So he finally broke down and wrote this book, and it's called The Direct Path to True Self-Acceptance. So what I have to say about forgiveness, and some of this comes right out of that those books, is really the definition of forgiveness is letting go of resentment against someone or giving up the desire to punish. Now, sometimes some of us have trouble getting in touch with the resentment aspect of what's going on. Sometimes what I was told by a men's group facilitator, he said that resentment and guilt are like train tracks. So if you're having trouble getting in touch with the resentment, look at what you're feeling guilty about. The same holds true as if you're having trouble feeling the guilt, look at what the resentment might be around it. So if you, and I use that tool many, many, many times, and it's really helped me. I had no idea that those two things ran parallel to each other. So radical forgiveness is a whole other level. It's, like I said earlier, y'all have kicked it up a notch. So radical forgiveness is kicking it up a notch. It requires the willingness to be open to the idea that there are no accidents in life, and that our soul has created the circumstances of our lives for our spiritual growth. There are really no mistakes in life. And I'll use a perfect example of that in my own life. Roughly 2 years ago, I was in October of 2019. I was having a lot of issues around my job. I was working as a manager of a cell phone store, and high pressure job. The new boss that I got 4 months previous to that was not a very friendly guy. He's probably the worst boss I ever had in my entire retail career, which spanned over 4 years. And so I was not a happy camper. And so there was a part of me that was, you know, trying to be, have a positive mental attitude about my job and try to make things work and try to do the best that I could. I was making half decent money, so I didn't have any reason to leave from that perspective. But from the other perspectives of high pressure, very intense job, a boss that was incredibly demanding and just over the top abusive, really. I was on my way to the bank to make a deposit and had a car accident. At the same time, my unconsciousness was telling me prior to that, I need to find a way out of this job. And so the universe, you know, basically rearranged itself to make that happen. My car accident, what happened was I broke my wrist, my left wrist, in three places. This side, and the middle was separated. It wasn't fun. So I had to have an operation. I wasn't sure not only if I'd be able to play music again, but not to be able to even have feeling in my left hand again. I wasn't sure of that. There was a lot of uncertainty. So that was my big wake-up call. And when that happened, I ended up leaving that job within the next month and a half on my own accord, because they weren't even being very nice to me even after I got out of the hospital from that. But I realized that was my wake-up call that I really needed to leave the job. And, you know, I don't know why I had to have a car accident to make that happen, but or to have that wake-up call, but apparently I did. Because I was trying to override my subconscious, my unconscious, by, you know, keeping a positive mental attitude and trying to plug away through it. You know, sometimes we just kind of, you know, I'm a Taurus, so I've got, I'm a bull with horns. I've got this goal in mind and I'm going to continue to go. I'm pretty stubborn with regards to that. But the universe has a way of waking us up sometimes. But a good example of radical forgiveness is the Nelson Mandela story. When you think about it, he was in prison for like 26 years. And there was a point in that country's history that it all could have burned up and just been a total bloodbath after he got released from prison and became president. It could have been really, really ugly. But it wasn't, because he was so committed to forgiveness and was able to transition that company, that country, in a peaceful way, based not on revenge, but forgiveness. And Mandela refused to take revenge, and on behalf of the people, he transcended the victim archetype. And that's another part of forgiveness, is sometimes we're so attached to our victimhood that we have a hard time getting to that place of forgiveness because we're so self-identified with it. It's who I am, you know. There's a lot of that going on in this world. And to move beyond that is really our challenge, is to move beyond that victimhood. So another aspect of that is when we're in our victimhood is we have this judgment. We have this judgment about the other person. We sometimes have judgment about ourselves around an issue. And really, judgment is the final frontier of our collective consciousness. It really is. We move past judgment, we move beyond a whole realm of stuff. And so moving beyond that judgment is where we can finally come to a place of forgiveness within ourselves, forgiveness of others, and to where, you know, we can come to a new level of self-awareness, self-acceptance, and consciousness. So I had written a song back in the late 80s when my daughter was little. She was going through some struggles as a little girl. And she's having some problems in school. She was having some problems about, you know, thinking that, you know, she wasn't. And it's weird to even say this today because she's a totally opposite person of what she was when she was a child. She had this feeling, she had a kind of a how should we say, a poverty mentality as a child. And I got the sense back then that she might have been a queen or something in a previous life or something. So she got this poverty mentality. So that's part of what's in the song. And then there's the issues of me being her dad and, you know, doing the best that we can always as parents, but sometimes we miss the mark. And so there's a verse about that. So it's that's the verse about forgiveness. And she's in her 30s now. So she's a way different person than she was back then. And I'm really proud of the person she's become. But so this is a song about that. And what I found happening is when I sing this song to a congregation or any group of people, they have a tendency to, my daughter's name is Laura. They have a tendency to substitute their own name whenever I say Laura, or they look at themselves as the child and as me, the father, talking to your inner child. So you might want to try that as we're going through this song. You ready? Oh, well, that's right. You don't play. I forgot.
May your dreams float you away. Take you far from what hurts, yet hold you so near. And feel that you've nothing to fear. Fighting, teasing, it's not very pleasing. Kids can be mean sometimes. But you don't have to be angry. You don't have to be sad. 'Cause they can't hurt what you have inside. Thinking you don't have all that you should, trying to get something more. You see, all that you have is all that you need. Your heart is what feels richer more. Good night, Laura. May your dreams float you away. Take you far from what hurts, yet hold you so near. Feel that you've nothing to fear. This dad has been full of mistakes. I know I've put scars on your soul. But forgive me for now, go on from here. Only you can make yourself feel whole. Good night, Laura. May your dreams float you away. Take you far from what hurts, yet hold you so near. Feel that you've nothing to fear. Feel that you've nothing to fear.
So, moving on. So I ran across a prayer several years ago, actually, that was very simple, yet at the same time, very powerful. And it's a prayer that consists of four basic phrases, very short phrases, four lines. And so what I ended up doing with this prayer is I ended up putting it to music. And so the prayer is called, and some of you are familiar with this, I'm sure. I hope I say it right. Ho'oponopono. Everybody heard? Okay. So there's a whole book on it. And it's got, excuse me?
There's a lot of books on it.
A lot of books on it. Probably a lot of songs, you know. A lot of music that's been put to it as well. I think I ran across some of them, none of which I really honestly liked. So I ended up writing my own. So what the Ho'oponopono prayer really is very simple. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. So some people will say this short prayer over and over again while they're looking at a photo of someone that they're looking to reconnect with, or looking to ask forgiveness for. And you can do this about yourself, though. You can have a picture of yourself in your, excuse me, in your own mind and say that prayer for yourself, for your own inner divinity. So what do these words mean? I'm sorry is the acknowledgement that I created whatever pain I've caused or errors I've made, whether that's to someone else or yourself. And sometimes what I've noticed is that there are people that in your life that may have issues with you and you have no clue why they're not talking to you anymore, or why they've decided to completely disconnect the relationship. Or why they've unfriended you on Facebook. You know, you may not have any clue as to why that has happened. But on some level, they need to hear, I'm sorry. On some level in the ethers, they need to hear, I'm sorry from you. And maybe you can't connect with them. Maybe you can't call them on the phone. I have a son right now who is completely alienated from me. And I honestly don't understand why. So I've been saying this prayer for probably the last month now. He's only spoken with me maybe once in the last 3 years. So it's obviously heartbreaking for me, but maybe there's somebody in your life that you have that's like that too. So I'd like you to keep that in mind as we're going through this, because we're going to do the song, and I'd like you to keep that person in mind. So let's continue on, though. Forgive me, because I did not know what I had, that I had that inside of me. I did not know I had that inside of me. Thank you for allowing me to release and cleanse this memory. I love you, my inner divinity, meaning I love me as well. Okay. So there's also a story about a man who went into a mental institution to hopefully shake things up, because the institution was kind of filled with a lot of fear and violence, and just, it was an ugly place to work, and it was not a very healthy place to even be, of course. Most mental institutions, in all honesty, aren't a very healthy place to be. But in his situation, he was brought in to kind of shake things up and try to turn things around. They need a lot of help, and this happened in Hawaii. And so what he did was he told his staff, he says, I'm going to go into my office and I do not want to be disturbed. And he was adamant about that. So he went in the office, he had this stack of files of each patient. He connected on some level to each patient that was in the institution. And he said those prayers. And within 3 months, you know, and the staff is like, what is this guy doing? He's getting paid top dollar to just do this, and yet he's not seeing any patients. He's not going to their rooms. He's not doing any of that. He's just locking himself in his office and doing whatever. We don't know. And so staff was kind of puzzled by all that. But within 3 months, the entire thing turned around to the point that they ended up, either all the patients got better or they got transferred, and they ended up completely closing down the facility because everything got so much better that it was just revolutionary. And then the staff was just, you know, saying it was a miracle. So this really is a miracle prayer, and it can be for you as well. So we're going to go through it here real quick, or not real quick, but you know, we're going to do it at our own pace here, whatever it takes. So it's a really simple melody, and you'll catch, just follow what I'm singing. Don't really pay attention to what she's singing. Although what she's singing is beautiful and singing harmony, you'll probably want to stay more connected with the melody. And you know, if you need to close your eyes to have that visualization of the person that you're asking for forgiveness or whatever that looks like for you, then by all means do that. I am sorry, please forgive me. Thank you, I love you. I am sorry, please forgive me. Thank you, I love you. I am sorry, please forgive me. Thank you, I love you. I am sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you, I love you. I am sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you, I love you. I am sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you, I love you. I am sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you, I love you. I am sorry, please forgive me. Thank you, I love you. I am sorry, please forgive me. Thank you, I love you. I am sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you, I love you. I am sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you, I love you. I am sorry. Please forgive me. I love you. I am sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I am sorry. Please forgive me.
Thank you, I love you. I am sorry, please forgive me. I am sorry, please forgive me. Thank you, I love you. I am sorry, please forgive me. Thank you, I love you. I am sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you, I love you. I am sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you, I love you. I am sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you, I love you.
I am sorry.
Please forgive me. Thank you, I love you. I am sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you, I love you. I am sorry. Please forgive me. I love you.
One more time.
I am sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you, I love you. I love you.
Thank you so much for letting us be here with you today. And let's stay out of judgment. You know, the world is so polarized right now. And I think it would be really healing. I know it would be really healing for all of us to be able to stay in the love, to embrace the fear, and let's graduate from Earth School. Let's celebrate. And that's what the commencement is. It's just celebrating that we're evolving consciousness. We're here to evolve consciousness. And we do it together. And I appreciate this community very much. Thank you, Bill, for having us and for all of the support and for coming out on this beautiful, beautiful day to be with us. Thank you.